Welcome to Agent's Dossier, a Delta Green actual play series brought to you by 12 Sided Stories. And now your GM, Wes Otis.
And welcome to Agents Dossier, episode number 26. My name is Wes Otis. I have some wonderful players with me. Let us start with Michelle.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and I am playing Yesenia Alvarez, who is ready for her next adventure.
Hey, y'all. I am Mac, and I am playing Wanda Sims, who has no idea of the horrors headed her way.
Hi, I am Pooja, and I am playing Robin Porter, Dr. cryptozoologist, quickly becoming a conspiracy theorist, you know, like you do.
Hello, I am playing Norman Morales, and what's currently happening, man? Probably in a therapy session, if I want to punt that to Wes there. And he is going to mentally be strong for the next adventure.
So we actually really don't have much of a recap this time. The last investigation ended. It was a small town in Idaho that everything went sideways, and the group kind of had to get out of Dodge in order to save their skin, which is completely understandable in a Delta Green game. So we actually are picking up 6 months later. It has been a good amount of time. Our agents have kind of slid back into their normal lives as much as they can, and they're in different places. They're all in their home territories, recouping, becoming parts of society again. And we're going to start with Norman, who, oddly enough, is in a therapy session. You're sitting across from them, and what's been troubling you, Norman? You've said that you have been having second thoughts about what you're doing, but you're, of course, not clear about what you're doing.
Right. Kind of give a bit of a sly look there, because I know that we both know that I'm not saying everything, but hopefully I wouldn't just say he's used to that, my therapist.
Very much so.
It is, admittedly, I'm still in the same place. My leg starts to kind of, like, jump up and down a little bit. I've just been thinking, it's probably something I'm not going to figure out for a long time. I kind of shrug, because I know that's not a very detailed answer.
Have you been sleeping better at all?
Slightly. I'd say maybe 3 out of 7 nights, I can be certain I'll get some sleep.
Now, I'm obviously not able to prescribe you any medicine, but have you reconsidered your stance on maybe some sort of sleep aid?
I had a roommate once, and he took Ambien, and it was a shit show, truly. I remember one time I had to chase him down my dorm hall. He was just talking about werewolves, clearly asleep. But I don't know, that stuff like that happened like way too much. And I mean, you can understand that's not werewolves, right?
Fear of sleep is something that a lot of people deal with because of the dreams that they have, obviously. And werewolves in someone's dreams are as real as they can be, or whatever other monsters might be plaguing. I know that we can't speak about the things in your work. I know that you're part of the NSA, and that's pretty much it. But have you thought about leaving your job if it's causing such stress?
I kind of like lean back in the chair and definitely just running my hands through my hair. Like, I've definitely thought about it, but I don't know. And I'm just gonna look directly into his face and I just say, I don't think that's an option, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah, I can understand that. I do strongly recommend that you talk with a psychologist so that you can be put on at least some sort of medication to help with these issues that you're having. I have a list of people I recommend. You know, this is a safe space for you to say things, but I do understand your worry about opening up, and I'm hoping that over the next few sessions that maybe we can nail down some of these problems and work on coping mechanisms and all that to help out. Till then, I think you should talk with the doctor and see if there is maybe some sleep testing or something that else that they can do to help you with the night terrors and everything. As for your job, you know, I have no idea what kind of stress you're under there. Exercise, call me anytime you need help. You know, try to lead a normal life as much as you can. Go to the movies with friends or whatever. Don't spend your time alone if you can, because people help, you know, with your overall mood as well if you can get a good network around you.
Yeah, we're social creatures, or so I've heard.
Very much so. All right, well, our time is up, but just be careful, and you have my cell phone number. If there's an emergency, call me, okay?
Okay, I'll take that referral to the doctor. Thank you, as always.
No problem. See you next week.
And do a little two-finger salute. Kind of mosey on out of there.
All right. Yesenia, you are, like I said, it's been 6 months since you escaped Idaho. Where are you right now? What part of the country are you in?
I'll say I am in D.C. area.
Okay. You're on the phone with your mom, and she says,
how's work going?
It's going okay. The last job I was on was pretty rough.
I mean, I understand. Why don't you come out here? If you can take a little time off and relax out here, you know, might help out.
Yeah, I think that might not be a bad idea. I just need to clear my head. You know, I made some mistakes, and I wasn't as cool under pressure as I should have been, and I need to clear my head. I think going out there for a little bit might not be a bad idea.
What happened? You keep being really vague.
Mom, you know I can't talk too much about my work.
I know, I just worry about...
I'll just say some people weren't what we thought they were.
Okay.
Quite literally.
What happens if something happens? Like, am I gonna even know? Will I even get a phone call?
Yeah. You'll get a phone call. They'll say it was some sort of accident, but they're not... Whatever they tell you isn't necessarily going to be the truth.
Well, that's something to live with. Thanks.
Well, you know.
all right, honey. Well, like I said, you're always welcome to come out here. And I don't know. I don't necessarily like the idea of not knowing at least something about what's happening. If you get injured or whatever, you need to come up with some kind of way to let me know so that I at least have some kind of idea, all right?
Okay, I mean, just all I can tell you is, you know, some of the stories you used to tell me about, like, you know, El Cucuy and La Llorona and stuff like that?
Yeah. Those, really?
Really.
Like you've run into monsters.
Really. So, I mean, I guess if I'm injured, I can just call you and let you know. But if it's worse, you know, you'll get a letter.
Well, you say what you're doing is important, so I'll take your word for it. But it doesn't mean I'm not scared.
I know. But just know I'm keeping people safe, Mom.
Of course. All right, sweetie. I love you.
I love you, too.
All right. Robin, it's a beautiful day. You're in a park. There is people running around doing things, dogs and all that good stuff. And the air is just the perfect temperature. And Neha is sitting next to you. And she goes, why do you keep coming back here?
Because I miss you. And it helps to think of you this way instead of the other.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I did the best I could.
I know you did.
What do they have you doing?
Honestly, I don't even know anymore. But I'm seeing a lot of stuff. When I saw you before, I thought it was the worst it would ever be. And I was wrong. But it's like the way they're just everywhere, anywhere.
Yeah, I thought I could handle it. Partner thought he could handle it. I guess there's no way of really knowing until you're in the thick, you know?
Yeah, I'm doing some good work, though. Maybe I can keep something from happening like it happened to y'all.
Just know when to run.
That, I think we're actually getting right this time.
Yeah, it feels like you're fighting World War III, but without the backup, you know?
Yeah.
How's real life outside the job going?
Yeah, you know how it gets. The job is life, but Madison keeps me going out.
That's good.
Yeah, if we don't meet every, 2 weeks or so for dinner and drinks, something, she will literally come to my house and drag me outside into the blinding bright sunlight.
Yeah, that's good, though. You need that. Sorry I'm not there.
Me too.
And then she dissolves and you wake up. All right, so, Wanda, you get a call, or Agent Sims, you get a call to come in to the Pentagon and speak with General Roth. And when you show up, they take you to this special area that has top secret conference rooms. And basically what they are is they are places where no surveillance can get through. Nobody gets in there without special permission, basically, is what I'm trying to get out.
Okay.
So you show up, and they take you into one of these rooms, and sitting across on the table is this older gentleman, General Roth. He's not in his full uniform, which is a little odd. Usually when they're at the Pentagon, they're wearing their full uniform, but he's just in a suit with a blue tie. You've heard of him before. He is a four-star general who works at the Pentagon, and he works with the Department of Defense. And that's pretty much the end of your knowledge of him in particular. And he says, Agent Sims, please take a seat. It's nice to meet you.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure.
We have been reviewing several agents' performance records, and you have done a stellar job by all measurements. And that is why you are here today. We have recently... It's hard to know where to start with these things, but we have a agency that deals with, I'm going to say, supernatural things. I know that sounds a bit crazy, like, you know, werewolves and vampires and all that can't be real. But there are phenomenons that we do not understand yet and do not fall under our scientific knowledge that sometimes will bubble up and cause problems around the world, but also in the United States. That is why you are in a super top security room right now. Not many people know about it. Sometimes things will happen where there's cannibalism or some other extreme violent occurrence. If you remember about a year ago or so, there was that horrible storm that hit Charlottesville, I believe it was.
Yes, of course, sir.
Well, that was one of those instances. We had to cover it up. We think that you would be a good fit for this agency, and we feel that you could help us. We have a group that we call them cells because they work in 3 to 4 people, and they go out and they investigate these phenomenons. We think that you would be a good fit for one of these cells.
No disrespect, sir, but as you are familiar with my record, I do tend to operate solo and have been very effective in doing so throughout my entire career.
I understand that, but for this particular agency, working solo isn't something that is possible. We are going to have you work with other people.
Is there a command structure within these cells that I need to be aware of?
No, they usually work in tandem with each other pretty well without having a structure. But I will say that you are going to be my eyes and ears in this situation. I want to give you some background. The agency you're joining is loosely called Delta Green. It's been around since the 1940s, World War II. It started even before that, but it's been known as Delta Green for a while. And they have dealt with, you know, occult Nazis all the way up to terrorists in our present day who are looking for supernatural means to cause havoc. And a lot of these things cannot be revealed to the public. So it's black ops, basically. It's like the CIA in that the heroes are never going to be known, and only the failures are going to be remembered if they ever hit that far. So one of the failures that Delta Green had was in 1970, they went to Cambodia and lost a lot of agents and cost a lot of lives. And the agency was dissolved at that point. But the people at the time did not agree with this. And they continued to work as Delta Green, unsanctioned by the United States. As you can imagine, this was, in my opinion, a shit show. And it lasted for a while as they siphoned off money from different agencies that they worked at in order to keep this going. It became clear in the mid-2000s that we needed an organization to deal with these unnatural occurrences or ununderstood occurrences. Because I really feel that these things are, if we use science, we will figure them out. It's just, you know, it's like flying. We didn't know how to fly until we figured it out, kind of thing.
Absolutely. I stopped believing in the boogeyman at a very young age. So it's all, I would imagine, science we just don't understand yet.
Correct. Anyway, they decided to reboot Delta Green. And when they did it, they offered these, I'm going to call them cowboys, who were working illegally outside of the government's sanction, an opportunity to come home. And a lot of them did. But another section of them said they didn't want the oversight of the United States government and that they could do this all on their own. And they have been operating that way for the past 10 years. The group that I'm sending you to is part of that sanction. They are outside the government. And what they don't know is that over the last couple of months, we have been neutralizing that arm of Delta Green. We can't have vigilantes going out and dealing with things. We have to have unity and oversight. Their whole apparatus that is above them has been neutralized. They don't know this yet. They're good agents. And what we want to do is move them over into our court. And that's where you come in.
You want me to bring them back into the fold?
Correct. Now, there are three agents in this cell. You will be the fourth: Yesenia, Robin, and Norman. We only use those names at this time because of protocol. Norman works with the NSA, and I think he's going to be the easiest to work back in because he's already a company man. Yesenia is part of the military. Again, I think she'll be relatively easy to work back into the fold. Robin is a doctor, something we always need in the agencies. She lost someone because of Delta Green, and I feel that she is going to be the hardest to bring back.
I see.
I'm going to leave this up to you on how you want to approach this. Get to know them, decide whether or not you want to be truthful from the get-go, or if you want to try to work another angle. See if you can be reasonable with them and explain to them why it's so important that everybody be under the same roof. And, you know,
Are there protocols in place for those that decide not to come back underneath our heading?
With the way that the agency works, they don't have much connection beyond the person who calls them and gives them a job. So if they have to be cut loose, then they get cut loose and we replace them with someone else. And when I say cut loose, that's not some jargon for neutralized or killed or, you know, taken care of. They just will no longer be contacted to do jobs. And the work that we do is so far out there, that it automatically lands in the conspiracy theorist camp, which we use to our advantage. People that come out and say the world is flat or there's, you know, vampires are real or whatever. The mainstream does not believe these people. And so it's easy to kind of hide things behind that cover. So they're not in any physical danger. It just means that they become disconnected from the organization.
It seems like the wise thing to do in those cases is also to squash their knowledge further through public relation means.
If necessary. We feel that you are the person for this job. And with your record, we feel that you can manage this. We know that you're used to working on your own, but this is a situation where we need you in this spot.
Is there a timetable on bringing everyone back under our control?
Well, the nice part about this situation is we've set it up where that if you want, they can believe what they believe for as long as you need them to. Again, they don't report to any particular place. And so we can feed you cases and see how they act, and you can reveal your intentions whenever you want. There's a danger to that, though. They may not trust you if you don't come in honest straight off the bat. That's why we're giving you the choice on how you want to approach this.
Undercover ops are not new to me, and assuming identities and infiltrating groups, again, is something that is very much in my wheelhouse. I know how to come in and make connections and gain trust. So I feel discretion would be most advised at this point.
Good. You'll be getting a call from an agent that will be assigning you basically a handler who will give you information and you'll give, you know, the back and forth between us. I may have a meeting with you soon after a few months just to see where everything's at. We appreciate you taking on this this case. And if there's no more questions, you can go.
Well, thank you for this great honor and a chance to further serve.
You're welcome. Dismissed.
And she's going to get up and leave the room.
Okay. So there we go. Yeah. What do you think now? So just for everybody who's listening, as we did each person's little vignette or little story, we had them leave the podcast until it was just Mac. So they don't know anything that just happened. So Mac, what do you think for Agent Sims? Is that a good setup for you?
I love it.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Well, thank you so much. We're not going to do outros this time. You know where Mac is. You know where I am. And everyone else has left. So it's just us. Thank you so much for supporting us. We appreciate it. Have a good holiday season. And we will see you next time on Agents Dossier. Bye.